How many is ready for the word? So Lord, I pray that we will have ears to hear and absorb what you're trying to tell us today. That God, when we leave today, we'll say, I have heard from Jesus. Not be my words, Lord, but your words. Amen. You know, my wife sent me this joke. She said, there is this person, she said, whenever I go to weddings, they poke me and say, it's your turn next. So I decided, I was tired of that, so I decided that whenever I went to a funeral, I was going to poke them and say, it's your next. But today, I wanted to poke the person next to you and say, it's your next to be touched by Jesus. Amen. How many like that kind of touch? It's your next. Your next turn. How many believe that it's not impossible for God to reach out to where we're sitting and where we're at in our journey to touch us again and again with his love? Sometimes when we get old in Christ, we get too complacent and we get too cynical. So I pray that God will touch you and restore you the childlike faith. When I see them dancing here with me, I just sense there's something very spiritual taking place when they dance with me in the front. Amen. And I pray that will be released in us. Hallelujah. The fruit is joy. So, again, I am into John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am told you this, that my joy may be in you, and then your joy may be to the full. So the question, of course, is, what did he say? And so let's read some of it together. Let's read it together. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch. And with us, such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. This is I obey my Father's commandments. And remain in his love. I told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy. Whose joy? Our joy. So, there is a joy that's not dependent upon your happiness. It's not happiness. Happiness is something that happens. But there's a joy that has nothing to do with the circumstances. And it's nothing to do with pleasure. It has to do with your connection with God. So in the midst of the worst circumstances, you can actually have a tremendous joy and peace. Amen? That's the picture. So the question is, of course, how do I get connected? And he says, if your word is in you, abides in you, you can ask me for anything according to the will. So how do I get this word in me? How does that work? So a couple of Sundays ago, I said there is a key given to us by Paul. A key given to us in Philippians chapter 4. Remember? It's a very good scripture to memorize. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Let your gentleness be evident. But God is near. With prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to him, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And then it goes on to say, fix your eyes upon what's good, honorable, and noble, and praiseworthy. So I was thinking, see, I had to preach it. So the word was in me. It's a word I have memorized. And so during the week, at times, I had negative thoughts. And I don't know, remember, but I remember many years ago there was a little program on the computer where the aliens came down. And you could shoot them out of the air, okay? You go, pshoo, and there was a little puff, and they disappeared. Am I the only one who remembers some of those games? I'm the only one. That's a long time ago. That's where it is. That's us for older people. But so in my mind, I thought, you know, in the week, I thought, when the negative thoughts came, I thought, I'm going to shoot that, pshoo, and puff, it's gone. And then I got to this rejoice, and again I say rejoice. So when the kids on Thursday afternoon were crawling on top of me, putting their squeezy hands in my hair, and burping, and I was thinking rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Poof, let it go. But there is one more thing. I'm starting lightly. It's getting a little heavier. So here it comes. How many believe there's a joy in serving Jesus? He actually says, Paul says, he's looking for cheerful givers. And Jesus says that the greatest in the kingdom is a servant. There's a joy in serving Jesus. But here comes the challenge. You see, what I've seen is there's a funeral, for example. I'll just give an example, okay? Don't feel picked on. And somebody phones you and says, could you please bring some squares? And you're thinking in your mind, why did this person have to die? I don't have time for squares. Why didn't they plan ahead so that I could have squares so that maybe they could make their own squares and put it in the freezer? Now, hear me. Because often we are called to do something. But the moment you grumble and complain, it is not an offering unto Jesus. It's an offering unto man. And that's all the reward you're going to get. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, do everything how much? Without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like the bright light in a world full of crooked and perverse people. My friends, there's a joy that comes when you serve and you are saying, I'm going to make this cake whether I have time or not, and I'm going to rejoice because when I give the cake, I'm actually giving it to Jesus. Amen. There is a joy that comes from that. Am I stepping on some toes? So here it is. I don't want people to feel they always had to be guilted into something. If you can't do it with a joy, just say, I can't do it. You're better off saying, I can't do it, than grumping and complaining and tearing down the body of believers. He's looking for some people who says, thank you, that I have been given an opportunity to serve for Jesus. Because I'm not doing it for hands or some other person. I'm actually doing it for my King of Kings, that his kingdom can express the love of God. I got one preacher. I can hear the thoughts. Yes. Yes. So you see, that is a bigger target. Much bigger target, because it does a lot more damage. So I bought a bit of different weapon, okay? But I have to say, Paul, I have no clue how it works. I need instruction. And it didn't come with instructions. So my friends, the instructions is rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. The question then comes, why should I listen to the instructions? Why should I abide in him? And Jesus says this in John 15. He says, when you obey my commandments, you abide in my love. As I have obeyed my Father's commandments and abided or remained in his love. What is his commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as love yourself. But what commandment did Jesus refer to when he says, I have obeyed my Father's commandments? And here comes the root of everything you do. There was an Iranian persecutor man who shared this. He says, I serve not because out of duty, but because that's my love. I got this from a video called Among Wolves. And in that country, it's the most persecuted country in the world. And especially it is oppressing women. And in the midst of that, a woman shared on the testimony, says, I believe it's a woman, they distorted the voice, and said, I serve because it's an act of my love. It's not my duty. So the question is, now can you hear me? The question is, where did they get that from? One of them says, what is it to be in prison for 15 years if I was going to spend eternity with Jesus? And one said, you know, the only way I can overcome this trial is by looking to eternity. So this is what Jesus is saying when he's saying, I obey my Father's commands and abide in his love. I wanted to share with you what that, I believe, means. You see, I think that Jesus came to extend a covenant with us. How many believe that's true? So in the Old Testament, a covenant is a legal abiding document that settles an agreement between two partners. And there's terms within the agreement. And so in the Old Testament, they wrote down their laws, the Ten Commandments and other laws. And it says, if you obey these, the blessings will come upon you. Deuteronomy 28 says that the blessings of God will come on you if you obey these commandments. How many have read that? But if you disobey, then the curse comes on you and you come under a curse. And what happened then, if you read the scriptures in the Old Testament, they failed. They failed over and over and over again. And I don't know exactly how it happened in heaven, but Jesus and the Father maybe had a little dialogue. And Jesus says, you know, they can do this. I doubt it happened like this, but it's how it can help me out, okay? Use your imagination a little bit. They cannot fulfill the agreement. So Jesus says, I'm willing to make agreement with you, Father. I'm willing to make a covenant with you. And what I'm willing to do is, I'm willing to absorb the curse on the cross. I'm willing to lay down my life and fulfill the terms of the covenant. And through faith, they can receive forgiveness and freedom from the curse. So Jesus came Even though he knew that many and many of his own people will turn against him, he came being willing to lay down his life for you and I. But there was a test. There was a test. And that's the test that you have as well. You see, if Jesus failed the mission, there'll be no atonement for our sins. There'll be no forgiveness if he became like Adam who listened to the enemy. And the test started in the beginning. They wanted to stone him. But rather than turning with revenge, he still loved the enemies. Then his own Judas, that he had spent and poured life and hope into, turned against Jesus. And yet Jesus washed his feet. Yet Jesus kissed him, took his kiss and said, "Friend," when he was prayed, when he was betrayed in the garden. Jesus never stayed away from the mission of love. Because had he would have forfeited his job as the Lamb of God was slain for the sins of human of mankind. When he was brought before Pilate and Herod, he was falsely accused. How many have been falsely accused? Falsely accused of being the Messiah. Falsely accused of being the King of the Jews. And he never defended himself. He never attacked them. He never poured out anger and bitterness and rage. He stayed the course. And then he turned the other cheek. They pulled his beard out. Now, my friends, in that crowd, I think he saw Peter. And I think he saw Peter and he heard Peter says, "I don't know this man." His own close friends turned against Jesus in fear. How many have ever had close friends turn against you? And Jesus stood the course and never condemned Peter. Because he knew that if he did and let bitterness and revenge and hatred come into his heart, he will forfeit his mission. Abide in his love means stay the course. Then Jesus was stripped naked, and they put a gown around him, and they put a crown, not of silver and gold that he deserved, but a crown of thorns. And they bow down in mockery and says, "Hail the King." Some of you, if you walk this walk of Christianity, there's going to be people who mock you. My own family mocked me. "Hans, did you fall out of a tree? What happened to you? Why are you a believer?" And it was tempting, real tempting, to come back with a smart remark and retaliate. But that's the temptation. Stay the course. Stay the course of love. Stay the course. Abide in my love. Jesus had to obey what he has agreed with his Father, because there was a covenant at stake here for all humanity. Then they took him and they beat him and they nailed him to the cross. But before they did, they brought him to Pilate. And Pilate says to the crowd of believers, you can free him. And you know what they said? "Crucify him! Kill him!" And there was the people who had, some he had healed, some he has fed. And there in the crowd, my friends, stood us, atheists, unbelieving, untrusting, and says to crucify him. Crucify him. In the world today, there is places where there's so much hatred towards Christ. And the mission is still the same. It has never changed. Abide in his love. So he hangs on the cross. And he looks at those with the spears. And he looks at those who is his own. And he hears the thief next to him says, if you are who you say you are, get yourself down from there and then get us down as well. But Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You see, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and the shame. And what was he doing? He's saying that there's no joy in the cross, but there's a joy in what's going to come. There's a joy in what he sees. And do you know what he sees? He sees you. He sees you coming to receive the covenant. A covenant of forgiveness. A covenant of love. A covenant of life. A covenant of life and joy in abundance. That you're going to spend eternity with him. So my friends, it's very hard for us sometimes to fathom this because we live in this culture. But when I listen to the persecuted church, which, by the way, is something they celebrate across the world today, or not celebrate, but they pray for today. When I listen to them and I listen to their testimony, some of them in Iran, the fastest growing church is in Iran. And it's led by women. And they know that they run this risk. That if they find them, they'll come through the doors. And they may be raped. And not only do they rape the women, they rape the men too. And so the question was, how do you ever do that? And they say, I look towards eternity. I offer my body as a living sacrifice. I have never read and saw in the same scripture in the same way. Say, offer my body as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. How many say that they're paying a price? One guy says, so, what is it to spend 15 years in jail if I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus? What does it mean to be 40 years in isolation compared to spending eternity with Jesus? He says, I look to the promise and I find peace and joy. When it says amen to that. How many are scared of where I'm going with this? So, the people they're using, or the people that God uses, is women. Women. And many of those women has been brutalized. But they're given a fighting spirit within them, willing to pay a price, any price. And here's one story. One woman, had the father had brought in a friend, in a business partner, but when he came into the house, he raped her as a child. The mother found out, told the father, but he still continued to invite this business partner to his home. And it went on for years. She became depressed, started taking pills, and one day, as a young lady, she took a rope from a hook in the ceiling, put it around her neck. And before she kicked out the chair, she said, God, I want to touch you. And she had a revelation of Jesus who said to her, I will never forsake you. I will always protect you. She kicked the chair. The next thing she knew, she woke up in the bed, still with the rope marks around her neck, but she was a brand new person. She's one of the leaders in the Iranian underground church. My friends, these women are not afraid of persecution. And you know what they say? They say in Iran, we disciple them first on the, because we don't want them converts. Converts run away when they're persecuted. But disciples, who knows what it means to follow Jesus and pay the price, they don't run away. They don't run away. Isn't it interesting? Can you follow me for a few minutes? Isn't it interesting that the country in the world that oppresses women more than any other place, one of the places, is Iran. And God uses the women to bring about a revival. When they're 7 or 8 years old, they're being married off. But Jesus has now taken them to bring about the gospel. How many knows that the greatest enemy of Israel physically today is who? Iran. The greatest enemy of the United States is probably Iran. The greatest enemy in the Middle East is Iran. They hate the Jews. But interesting enough, the Christians, these millions of Christians in Iran, has come to know that Jesus is a Jew. And there is now a prayer movement in Israel, in Iran, for Israel, among the Christians. I'm just sharing that with you because it's interesting how God can take what the enemy intends for harm and turns it into something good. Hallelujah. Let me share this last story. There was a woman and a husband. They went to the United States from Iran and stayed there for a year or two. And the woman said to her husband, "I want to travel back to Iran. I want to go back." And her husband and friend said, "Why would you want to go back to persecution? You're risking your life." She said, "There is a spirit, satanic spirit, on the church in North America of apathy, indifference." And she said, "I'd rather go to Iran and lose my life than lose my soul." Jesus says in Luke 10, he says, "Fear not the one who can destroy your body, but fear the one who can destroy your soul and your body in hell." He says, "I'd rather risking my life going to back to Iran, but having my soul alive." And one of them was interviewed on this video, and he said, "I feel like everything had been stripped away. But when everything is stripped away, there's Jesus. And when I have Jesus, I have joy." Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Why am I saying this? Do you know, I sometimes, as a pastor, have to plead with people, "Come to church." I have to sometimes say, "Why don't you read the scriptures?" I have to say, "Why don't you pray? Why don't you fast? Why don't you do something so that you are connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has eternity for you?" Well, Hans, I'm not sure. I don't really think it's dark out. I'm tired. I don't like so-and-so in church. I don't like so-and-so. I don't, you know, if they sit in that pew, I'm not going to sit in that pew. Because Jesus is really not that important. Now I'm speaking to a whole bunch of people that I love. I love you. I love you with the heart of God. And I know that you love Jesus. And I can say this to you. But the reason you don't ask your neighbor is because you really don't believe that they're going to hell. But my wife said, that's probably not the reason. And for you who sit in the chairs, that's probably not the reason. The reason is you don't believe that they actually will accept it. You think they may not want to hear it. And therefore, you are tired of being rejected. My friends, I'm sometimes tired of begging people to come to the best thing they could ever eat, they could ever drink. It is the food that Jesus offers. Amen. And the reason I'm saying that is because I know, as the Iranian girls and ladies know, that the best thing is to come. This life is only temporary. And the Iranians live not by what this world offers, but what another world offers, another kingdom. They're not looking to this kingdom to bring peace, joy. They're looking to another kingdom. And I know, I just feel that God wants to awaken us with the same passion and sincerity and hunger in our hearts that I see among the persecuted church. Because, my friends, we are facing that persecution one day. And I'm actually going to ask Jesus to give it to us. If that's going to be what it takes to wake us up, it may be done. Am I okay? Are you okay? Do you still love me? So it's not about guilt or shame. It's really about abiding in his love. And it comes right back to what Jesus did on the cross. And the covenant of love that he extended to you and I. That's why I want to do what I want to do. That's why I want to bless those little kids and let them hang on me and put the greasy fingers in my hair. That's why I want to drive the healing lodge. That's why I want to come and pray on Saturday nights. That's why I want to struggle with thinking, God, what do you want to tell us on Sunday? I can find any sermon on the internet and just copy it. But it's not going to help you and me. Whatever I share on Sunday morning is something God speaks to me. So, will you stand with me? When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. He stayed the course of love. I know people have lots of reasons why they shouldn't love. Plenty. But he wanted to stay the course that brings joy unspeakable. Learn from Jesus what it means to turn the other cheek. What it means to let go of revenge and bitterness and focus upon what's good, honorable, and praiseworthy. So Jesus, today, we have heard from the persecuted church what it means to strip everything off and focus upon what really counts. To fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who with joy set before him endured the cross and the shame. And Father, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will renew that passion in us and get our eyes on our temporary problems and circumstances and fears and anxious thoughts and get our eyes upon the promise and the goodness of God. As you said to that woman, I will always be there for you. So Lord, I pray that you'll hear the voice of heaven again say, I will always be there for you. Fear not. I have called you. I have redeemed you and called you by your name. God, I pray for the church here in Maple Creek, but also for the church in all of Canada, that Father, we'll rise up again with a renewed faith, with a renewed passion, because we'll have the heart of God. They will abide in His love and love what He loves and hate what He hates. Father, we will see that people need You, and we'll be willing to extend Your love to the broken and the hurting among us. And Father, I pray that signs and wonders will follow us. Help us, Lord, to obey You and abide in all that You've given to us through that covenant of love 2,000 years ago at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it is. I always find that when you hear something and it speaks to your heart, don't just run away and eat. Let God percolate that in your spirit. So we're going to have the worship team come, and then I'm going to just take a minute of silence and ask Jesus to speak to you. What is He trying to tell you personally? And if you think God wants to deal with something, come to the altar. You don't even have to tell me or anybody else. We just want to stand with you and pray for you.